one second.
Thank you, honorable members. I'll proceed to call for further nominations. Seemingly that there are no further nominations, I will then proceed to call for Mr. Galago to come forward and take the chair. Thank you, honorable members. Good morning, members. We will start our meeting. I think already the apology of the chairperson has been forwarded by the secretary of the committee. The other apologies is two members who are on the way will be late. In few minutes' time, they will be around here. Our agenda, let me first welcome the minister and the deputy minister. You are welcome joining us for the first time in the committee. Our agenda, as we all have before us, or as we actually received when it was completed, we'll have a briefing by MTTA and a briefing by Parent South Africa. Maybe before that, it will be up to the minister whether you want to introduce the briefing. And then they care the entities and the members are saying oh greeters. So I'll give over to you, Minister, if you want.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Yabona ukuzalwa from royalty. You get bullied by people who are related to your ancestors, even if they're not related to you. So Honorable Mondi should not be intimidating. This is my first sitting in the committee as Minister of Communications, as I'm always corrected. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I sit next to me is the Deputy Minister, Honorable MP Tandila Halesala. And we have with us the team led by the chairperson of MTTA. I'd just like to give some background. We had meetings to discuss what is to be presented today, but just to lead the way, I'll just read from what I had prepared together with my office. Honorable Chairperson, the objective of the MTTA is to ensure that all citizens can access information in a language of their choice and to transform media access, ownership, and control patterns in South Africa. So in a sense, it deals with the issue of radical economic transformation, which other people call inclusive growth. Media diversity in any country is regarded as a measure of the depth of its democracy. Every citizen should have access to a range of media. To deepen media diversity, MTTA is tasked with providing financial and non-financial support to community and small commercial media projects throughout the country. The agency is planning to create 450 jobs over the MTF in the broadcasting sector. Community media have a dual role, that of a mirror reflecting the community back at itself, and that of a window allowing the outside world to look at it and its experiences. South Africa's definition of a community is twofold, either a geographic community or a community of interest. Community media are about both access to and dissemination of information. And the highlights of the media MDDA in the current financial year, Honorable Chairperson, would be the agency will complete the social impact study to determine the effectiveness of their funding model since its inception. The portfolio committee must also note that starting from its financial year, the department will be focusing on policy matters in relation to community media and broadcasting, while the agency will be funding all the projects. In the past, the department was subsidizing the transmission fees for community radio stations with Centec, and currently the agency is funding it out of their own budget for the approved projects. The agency has signed the Memorandum of Understanding with South Africa Agency for Science Technology Advancement for training interns in how to report on science matters. What we've also discussed yesterday is that we should look to funding from the CETA as well as forging a partnership with the National School of Government and other institutions that could be able to provide the type of training and so that it enables us to churn out quality, skilled personnel and people for the sector. The agency has also partnered with CEDA on business enterprise development for mentoring and coaching projects. What we've also said is that they should look to the Small Business Development Department and also the DTI for further funding, seed funding, and also just to assist in the growth and the inclusion of those previously not included in the sector for their development. I've been made aware that the portfolio committee visited the agency on the 28th of March, and MDDA was instructed to ensure that they respond to the issues as raised during the previous visit by the committee, and was also instructed to give progress report to the committee during the first week of May 2017, and this is what we're doing today. Some of the challenges faced by community media, MDDA has been supporting projects for the past 13 years, and it raised $72 million from various sources, which is the highest level of revenue raised in 1 year in the history of the MDDA, that is 2016 to 2017. The support of the community media has seen considerable transformation, with 271 licenses issued for community radio stations and 246 for community print projects. These projects are spread across all 9 provinces with a weighting towards rural areas. Of the projects supported by MDDA funding, approximately 2/3 of these are located in rural areas. We also have challenges which emanate from the reliance on volunteers, and it affects contentment generation, while other challenges include lack of governance and management skills. Furthermore, while the agency saw successes in raising funds over the past year, the withdrawal of funding from the print sector some years ago has continued to impact on the agency, and new means of attracting and increasing funding are required. The result is virtually non-existent, the community print sector alone remains unprotected from competition with the large publishing houses. Many print projects have demonstrated some successes, are either bought by big media houses or they refuse to sell, face unfair competitions as big print media houses launch competing title syndicates, editorial and advertising, by offering grossly reduced advertising rates. The result is a virtually non-existent community print sector comprising of a handful of niche publications, some struggling community papers that publish intermittently. Currently, the big 4 media houses, Media 24, Times Media, Caxton, have stopped their contributions. The impact of this is huge in the sense that broadcasters are required to, by law, make a contribution towards MDDA, whilst there is no law governing the contribution of the print media. The net effect is that the community print project cannot be funded adequately. If it is funded, it is subsidized by broadcasting. There is a tremendous demand for MDDA support, which in turn requires an increase in funding. To this end, the agency has reported to this committee that it receives more than 150 million worth of applications, we suggest that without increased funding, the agency will fail to support initiatives aimed at giving effect to both the MDDA Act and Section 16 of the Constitution. It must be also emphasized that the MDDA support is needed in an ongoing basis, especially in rural areas and also areas where there is not much of economic activity taking place. So the three areas, the few areas that we'll be talking to will be lack of advertising funding, the governance and accountability of board, filling of vacancies at the MDDA. We'll also give you a list of who sits on the board, and I'm sure that's information that you already have. And we'll also be talking to the amendment of the MDDA Act. And we've also noted that the Act needs to be amended to ensure that it's relevant with the development that has taken place in society since its enactment in 2002. The lack of availability of radio frequency spectrum nationally is now affecting the sector. ICASA cannot license community media applicants with which the MDDA must fund. ICASA moratorium on broadcasting radio license means that there won't be any new entrants to the community radio stations market until the full rollout of the DTT migration program. And in conclusion, I want to assure the committee that the current situation where members of the board are heading the different administrative units with the chairperson playing the role of the caretaker, that in itself is unacceptable, and as such, I have appointed the former acting DG of the GCIS as the acting CEO of the MDDA. We have advertised for posts. We are in the position throughout the portfolio. We are in the process of bringing in new talent into the organization. And I have given the MDDA as a delegated function for the deputy minister to take care of. So MDDA, for all intents and purposes, will be working with the deputy minister. I wish you could smile. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I'm sure members, what we'll do, will maybe some of the issues we want to raise with Minister, you'll raise them when we raise some questions around the presentation itself by MDDA. So we'll hand over to you for your presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, Minister and the Deputy Minister and the colleagues. With me, I have, personally introduce myself, as Pele Sankomo. I'm the Chair of the Board, and I have a colleague, Mr. Musa Sishwane, who is joining us as a board member, and I have the Management Committee with me. Before you, colleagues, you have the presentation of MDDA. And the essence of the presentation reflects it divided into two sections. The first section, probably actually in three sections, the first section actually deals with the legislative environment that governs MDDA, and that remains the critical pillars in terms of how we execute our work. We have also looked at the issues that are related to the actual implementation of the plan, and then there's the administration, and as well as there are issues related with the revenue generation. The first slide, colleagues, is really a slide that really anchors the work that we do, which is MDDA mandate, which looks at four critical issues in South Africa, which is the media ownership and access for previously disadvantaged and those who would have been socially excluded due to the apartheid system, based in terms of language and cultural orientation. The second component, which is really one of the critical ones, is to ensure that we disperse funding to support the sector in a form of grants. The third one is to actually ensure that we take an approach that actually supports the sector in a form of human capital development. And the third one is to actually ensure that we contribute into media and literacy, and in that way we target both young people, children and young people at school, and we do that as well in partnership with other state-owned enterprises, which are in the media sector, which would be CASA, USASA, SASASA, which was mentioned earlier. We highlight our vision before you, honourable members, minister and deputy ministers, that one of our critical visions is to ensure that there's an accessible and transformed and diversified media in South Africa, and part of it is to particularly ensure that, in fact, how we deliver this, it's through a grant making where projects would be coming from communities. Our vision is to ensure that we lead major development and transformation and diversification of the sector. I think it's a well-known issue that South Africa, we don't have a very transformed media, and working class communities, women and children, and rural communities remain excluded. And so one of the key things that we contribute to is to ensure that their voices are included as part of the general media discourse or public discourse. And our value system is really ensure that we remain professional, we're inclusive in what we do, and we're accountable, and we execute our work in a much more driven by integrity. We highlight several acts that guide the environment in terms of the work that we do, and you know that media environment has changed so much in relation to what we were in 2004. When MDDA was established and versus now, and over time, actually there's been an evolution of regulation, and those are the almost 8 regulatory policy regime unto which we execute our responsibilities. One of the things we thought we needed to flag for the committee, we had the benefit of participating at the DOC presentation last week, which most of the entity normally do, so that we get a sense and gauge what are the issues that the committee is actually concerned with, and we built that in our presentation. And one of the areas that the committee raised was the issue in terms of what is it that you're doing in relation to media transformation. And we've highlighted several things that we're doing as an entity. Amongst those is to ensure that our funding model is very developmental, that it actually takes on a hand-holding approach, that actually in how we adjudicate at a board level in terms of overseeing the project is that we ensure that there's a geographic and class orientation in our funding approach, and that actually the issue of content diversity and language diversity are critical in how we fund the project. I think the issue already from a transformation perspective is that we have in the last 3 years been rolling out digital infrastructure in terms of the actual studios in the community media sector. So in essence, to prepare them that once we get to fully go into digital, is that the stations are able to be part of the process. The other issue is the issue of regulation that the committee had asked last week. We then indicated we thought we needed to pay attention to that area, that ICASA has imposed a moratorium for two rational reasons. The first one is the issue of spectrum, because we're still operating half analog and half digital. So in essence, there's no spectrum that is available for the community broadcasting sector. And the second component is sustainability challenges of the sector. So we have both proposed between ourselves, when I say ourselves, meaning the MDDA and ICASA, is that we need to undertake a joint research in terms of actually looking at what are the new forms of regulation of community broadcasting sector that we must be undertaking, taking into account of the fact that we already have 271 community radio stations, and most of them are struggling to go on air. So in essence, it means that actually the evolution of both communities and the sector has changed, and we need to be able to develop a responsive regulatory regime. Below, I think the committee had expressed the issue of monitoring and evaluation and methodology that we apply in our projects. So what we've done is that we've highlighted 5 key things that we look at when we actually provide funding. I think the critical component really is community participation, which we believe that a whole lot of projects need to be able to influence the direction of the project, both in terms of content, but as well as reflecting the development discourse of those communities. So we look at the content, we look at the compliance and governance issues, financial sustainability, and advertising revenue. I think all these variables combined will be able to actually give us a sense of whether the project is able to be sustainable beyond the NDD funding. And perhaps let me hasten to say that one of the key things we've realized at the board level is that while we take a developmental approach in our funding, the limitation is that if we enter into a contract with the project, once the contract has come to end, we leave the project in a desert. And one of the things we really want to look at is to look at other strategic, non-financial and financial partnership to ensure that when the contractual obligation of MDD have ended with the project, we could still deliver the project into another potential funder so that they're able to sustain themselves. I think the other issue, I think the minister makes the point, I will not even elaborate on it, in relation to the review of MDD-8, and as well as how is that linked with the social impact study. The issue of four print media, minister has gone at length in terms of explaining what is the current circumstances. We have actually specifically requested the minister, both the minister and the deputy minister. I think in this context it will be the deputy minister who's going to help us to engage with the print media houses to ensure that we actually have a way of tapping into their resources. That's one issue, but also dealing with issues of competition in the sector. But I think the third issue is to really look at what form of content sharing in a form of syndication that we could actually explore with the sector. So that's really the issue. But I think the third issue, the fourth issue, which will come up in probably now one of our last slides, is really looking at what type of regulation regime that would require from the print media sector. And that should be driven by both the executive authority and parliament. We highlight the areas of content in terms of what are the content issues. I think the minister indicated our partnership with SATSASA. I think the profound nature of this project in particular is that you hardly find science and technology in any indigenous language. You always find it in English. So when we partnered with SATSASA, this was one of the major breakthroughs, that because of the technical nature and the jargon contained in the academic stream itself, it means that people in the communities where we've partnered with SATSASA and newspapers is that they will actually be able to understand what are the issues that are, when you talk about science, that when you talk about science, it's not something that is removed, but also it's really part of their own lives. We consider a project in the disability sector because we've been the committee when we appeared last time, we actually highlighted that it be something that we looked at. We look at issues of gender-based violence as well. And in fact, we've circulated even now a report from one of our partners, which is from the print sector, where they hosted a conference on community publishing and partnership. And the essence of it was really looking at women's role in media, but also how are women represented in media, that they should not be represented as victims, but they should be seen as part of a fully-fledged communities. And we're also exploring a partnership with children-based content organization. I think the essence that I was raising is around our media literacy program, but also how to empower children to understand what type of protective framework, policy framework that the South African government has for them and what type of rights they should be enjoying as children. The other issue the committee raised was around the sustainability issue. One of the key issues we're really looking at is to ensure that, I think the minister spoke about the dual role of community media, is that a part of that dual role would be social development, but as well as now we're building in a concept of business enterprise, that projects must actually build in business component within how they run the project, because ultimately the sustainability component is that it means that they need to have a strong commercial component within their own projects. We're engaging with SALGA, in fact, to support, and we would constantly be really asking for the committee to assist us, I think with the executive or minister and the deputy minister in this context, to help us with engaging of SALGA, because municipalities are not placing adverts within their own communities. So in a community in Vembe, a municipality in Vembe will place an advert in the Mail and Guardian instead of actually placing an advert in a local municipality. So in economics, this is called economic leakage because it means that you're not able to actually ensure that the circulation of capital within the communities. I mean, the other issue is that we're engaging with Centec on transmission costs. This is a huge component of the operational cost for the community radio sector. But the other thing that we're piloting here is to look at what are the possibilities for internal transmission infrastructure and what are the cost implications so that you reduce the dependence on Centec, because we also understand that Centec must be able to build its own financial balance sheet and hence some of the costs are actually are much higher. But in our engagement with the National Community Radio Forum, they indicated that actually they would really like Centec to build or to have separate costs for the sector, and it's a lobbying advocacy work that we'll be doing jointly with the National Community Radio Forum. I think I'd already made the point around the media literacy program, around the outreach and public campaign in two provinces to really raise the awareness of MDDA and then as well as build that in media literacy. On public engagement, the committee wanted to know which public engagements there have been, and we highlighted the province, Limpopo 5, KZN 1, Eastern Cape 3, Northern Cape 1, Mpumalanga 3, Free State 1, Northwest 1, and Western Cape 1. I think there, those are the words that reflect the type of the context that we work in and the different things that we're doing. And then the next two slides will pay attention on the framework of our presentation with our preparation meeting with the minister yesterday. One of the things she suggested we should build when we come back to the portfolio committee next time is sustainable development goal, which actually informs the type of work that we're doing. And those are the four areas, the framework into which dovetails our annual performance plan. The National Development Plan highlights the different outcomes, and those are the outcomes unto which we express the work that we do, both in terms of our strategic objectives and in terms of our own practical activities. The situational analysis of the current status quo is that's an environment that we're dealing with. So, in essence, this is the problem we're correcting. Now, one of the things that the committee raised last week was that we would like, as public representative, when we interact with communities, you are able to tell us what is the problem that you are correcting and how are you responding to the problems that you are correcting. The first one is the issues of lack of access to information. I think that's what the minister had indicated in her opening remarks. The second one is biased news. The third one is the issues of unfair competition. And this is probably both between broadcasting and print. One of the questions that we asked the last time when we appeared was how do we deal with SABC radio stations who are actually broadcasting indigenous languages, and how sometimes have an impact in terms of displacing the community media. And we admit that's a real problem. But the issue is that we need to be able to support the sector in a way that picks up its niche, and its niche is at a municipal level and the regional spread. And we need to really think about how do we manage that delicate balance. I think the issue around predominance of English today, we're all going to be presenting in English today, and I'm sure we'll probably speak in various languages within the room. The issue of governance in the sector is really a challenge for us, so this is a sectoral challenge. Then the fact that we've not moved in fully in the analog as the country, it does remain a problem, but in essence we're kind of like addressing it through our digital infrastructure rollout, like the media monopoly. I think this would be specifically around the print media sector. The evolution of media globally, the convergence and multiple platforms that are actually used by a whole lot of people to actually express their views. So in essence, that you are able to get the same messages across the media. I mean, the government advertising spend, it's really one issue where this sector would really need, but it remains a problem, the issue of geographic exclusion. I think the point we're making is that historically you'd always have languages and cultures that are really excluded. And I think even though South Africa enjoys 22 years of democracy, but you still have a lot of working class issues that don't find their way into the mainstream media. And then the other issue is the sustainability of the sector or revenue generation strategy. Sorry, Chair. This is a desired outcome. We highlight the issues that part of the critical contribution of MDA in South Africa is to ensure that we contribute in a well-informed citizenry that is able to contribute into building a vibrant democracy. Is the media literacy way actually citizens don't become consumers of media, but they actually have a constructive engagement with the content that is contained in the media. It's content diversity that reflects the cultural diversity of South Africa, and as well as from a language perspective and geographic background, I mean geographic balance. The digital migration, obviously, from a policy perspective, is being driven, but it's something that will contribute to as the entity in terms of digital infrastructure. Innovative partnership, I think the point we're making is that MDDA cannot only be the sole funder of the sector, but in essence, we need to look at innovative partnership that ensures that they sustain the sector in a much more, they support the sector in a much more sustainable way. Innovation and research is that you would not be able to support a sector that is evolving if you don't invest in innovation and research. I think the issue of capacity building remains a critical issue, because this is the sector, community media sector is one sector that attracts young people with no post-matric qualification, but also it's a sector that demonstrates a lot of high appetite for risk, because in essence, if you take in a young person or a person with no post-matric qualification, it means that you are taking institutional risk, and those institutional risks, you might see the outcome might either be negative or positive. The issue of advocacy and lobbying remains critical. I think one of the things we were raising earlier is our partnership with NCRF in terms of both the center cost, but as well as the issues that are related with the municipality advertising spend and the government advertising spend in general. This slide will highlight the issue of an alignment between the stretch goal of a DOC and MDDA, because it's our immediate executive authority. So in essence, it's important that how we pursue or execute our work is that there's a clear alignment of how we contribute into achieving of the strategic goal of the UC. These are the 5-year priorities that the board had developed in 2015 as a strategic focus for the next 5 years. One of the key issues which we had highlighted already is to lead and contribute into the reconfiguration of the MDDA Act through a scientific-based process, which amongst those would be the impact study. The impact study is not a casting stone in terms of contributing the sector, but in essence, it would have given you insights in terms of what are the new socio-economic dynamics that have emerged in communities. And when we talk about communities, do we still talk about your traditional communities, or are you talking about new communities? The other issue is the organizational renewal, and the organizational renewal really looks at what is it, that what type of organizational structure we need to develop, what type of capacity do we need to have internally to be able to be responsive to the changing environment, but also ensure that we build an organization that is able to meet its deliverables. Knowledge base, I think the point I was making earlier is that you're not going to be able to, as an organization, to position yourself as an organization that is a thought leader if you're not investing in knowledge. And so one of the things we're really looking at is looking at focusing at cutting-edge research that is responsive to sectoral dynamics. And as well as is to support, the fourth one is to support the funding and capacity of community media. through reviewing of the sustainability model. I think the point we're making is that I think the fact that the ICASA had actually imposed a moratorium on the sector reflects the evolution of the sector. So in essence, if it reflects the evolution, it means that any sustainability model that is currently applied in the sector, it would mean that it would mean to be reviewed. So hence we're really looking at that issue. And then of course position MDDA as the leader in the community sector around the thought piece and how to influence any national policy discourse. We highlight all these other earlier issues and also recognize that we have our own institutional challenge. I think the minister makes the point that they have seconded the CEO to exit MDDA because from a governance principle, the chair shouldn't be playing a dual role of being the governance and being involved in the operations of the organization. And in essence, we accept that. And thank you to the ministry for that, because it means that it actually takes away a little bit of pressure and strain from the board having to oversee the operational issues. And perhaps let me just indicate to the committee this morning that actually we will be hosting our CEO interviews this Friday, because we'd really like this matter to be closed. We've made a commitment that within the first quarter we should have a CEO at MDDA, so that we ensure that there's much more institutional stability. We have an issue, honourable members, in relation to the quorum. I'm aware that the committee is arranging interviews for the board members, but we've just lost two board members now. The other one was from Media 24. She has taken up a severance package, so it meant that she's not able to continue, even though they've actually seconded somebody else, and the ministry is considering that the new person that has been considered. The other one is that the colleague is considered for another potential somewhere within our own communication portfolio, and she felt that it would be improper for her to remain in the board, as it might represent conflict of interest. I think the other issue is really around the issues of organizational renewal. One of the things is that the sector has really changed, and some of the internal institutional issues that we have has to do with the fact that our systems are very old and things are actually done in an old way. We've not been able to evolve. And our immediate intervention there has been that we've actually encouraged staff members to do to undertake personal development plan. Personal development program, which actually enhances their capabilities to deliver for the short term to medium term, and as well as the long term. I think the report that we submitted to the portfolio committee for their, which is linked to their visits to the staff, actually outlines the programs that we've entered into at an institutional level to ensure that we strengthen our capacity, but also we're responsive to the changing nature of the environment. We'll now get into the annual performance plan, which is the actual numbers and the strategic areas. What we flag in there is our MDDA strategic map, which highlights the vision and the strategic areas that we're focusing in. And my colleagues will then start taking us through the various APP specific targets.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start with Program 2, which is our core program, basically because we want to highlight the external impact that we hope to make. So Program 2 deals with grant and seed funding. It has three strategic objectives. The first one deals with the community broadcast sector, the second with the print sector, and then the third one is extremely important. It's our monitoring and evaluation activities to ensure through ongoing monitoring that we are actually achieving the impact that we require through the funding program. This next slide just deals with the risks associated with Program 2. These are just the external risks that we have identified. There obviously are internal risks, but we are highlighting those that are the externally important ones. The three are poor governance, which the Chair has already alluded to, within the community media sector. The second one is insufficient funds, and the third one is limited resources to sustain project support. As we pointed out, there are major issues of sustainability in our community projects. If we turn to the next slide, this is basically our targets for our medium-term targets for community broadcast media. I'd like to draw attention to two things. The first one is you'll note that our targets are lower than our performance this year. This year we had a record revenue. We managed to negotiate much bigger contributions from funders such as MultiChoice, which has enabled us to fund vastly more projects than we anticipated. We are obviously very dependent on funding, so we are cautious in setting our targets for the next 3 years, given the fact that there is constraints in the economy, we may not get the same level of funding. And the last key performance indicator is special projects. This refers to the social engagement strategy that we are currently running between Khayelitsha and Guguletu, and will also involve the other African communities on the Cape Peninsula. We hope that this, or we trust that this will develop a model that can be replicated in other areas, as it is a very powerful force for social cohesion and national building and speaks directly to the National Development Plan. So we therefore have targeted to roll out this strategy across South Africa in the coming years. If we turn to 2.2, which is a print and the funding of print and digital media, I'd like to draw attention to the last key performance indicator, which is the number of projects approved for online presence. We need to intensify our focus on assisting our projects to go online and to become digital aware. This is definitely, I don't need to point out, the trend of the future. And our projects need to take advantage of all the new technological trends just to remain sustainable. Monitoring the valuation is 2.3. As I mentioned earlier, this is a very critical activity just to monitor that we are actually making impact in the projects that we set out to in funding them. The third key performance indicator is implementation of impact study findings. We anticipate that we'll get some very robust findings that we should implement to the benefit of the sector. So we would like to both implement them and to monitor that we are implementing them effectively. The next program is partnerships, public awareness and advocacy. This is basically our advocacy and lobbying area. This is divided into two sub-programs. The first deals with strategic programs, i.e. those programs that will deal with proactively with emerging trends in the media landscape. And then the second strategic objective is basically the communications, public relations, brand building activities. So the first sub-program, strategic programs, developing a digital strategy is obviously critical. We have, over the past few years, we have been putting together concept papers and ideas, but we need to really craft this and solidify this into a really effective strategy. And then we do have a number of stakeholder engagement activities, and these all are in line with the stakeholder engagement policy and plan that we have developed and which we review and implement every year to ensure that we are mobilizing the resources across the sector effectively. In terms of the NDDA brand building, we are fully cognizant of the fact that we need to raise the profile of the NDDA amongst our stakeholders. So this program is very much directed towards that activity. We have a communications plan, and we will be producing newsletters and report and other publications. We also in terms of publicity, we do support the Minister and Deputy Minister's outreach programs, but we also carry out our own outreach programs in the communities. We also would like to host a publicity campaign around the fact that it's now 15 years since the MDD Act was promulgated in 2002, just as a vehicle to raise awareness of the MDDA. And the last one is a number of media awards hosted. We have, for at least 5 to 6 years, hosted media awards together with SANLAM. A number of issues were raised that they could be more effective in being developmental and in recognizing excellence in the community media. So in the past financial year, we commissioned a media award study, and we have got the results of this study, and we will then craft the next media awards for this financial year in terms of the findings of the study. Program 4 is capacity building and sector development, an area that's becoming increasingly important in our activities, as we recognize that a fully skilled sector underpins the sustainability of the projects. So we partnership with training institutions and other academic institutions as well as the CETAs to implement effective capacity building for our projects. So if you look at the next slide, we've outlined the targets we would like to achieve in the next 3 years. Our first two targets, we talk about partnership agreements and MOUs signed, but I'd like to point out that we actually mean signed and implemented. We fully realize that it's implementation that is important. So we are looking to sign with, as I said, with the CETAs, with the universities and other training institutions. The next key performance indicator is the training interventions. We do ourselves hold our own training interventions, such as our annual grantee orientation workshop, our learning forum that is associated with the media awards. And then the final two indicators refer directly to media literacy, which is also a very important strategy of ours going forward to ensure, particularly at present, that our learners are media aware. And the last of our core programs is innovation, research and development. We believe that we need to constantly research the media environment so that we are ahead of any media trends and we can lead the community media sector effectively in making use of the latest media trends. So ultimately we would very much like to be the repository of community media research in the country, if not in the continent. Our medium-term targets for this area, there's two key performance indicators. The one is a digital platform for stakeholder information sharing. We have set up a portal on our website, and we want to update this with information that the community media can refer to develop stories, to develop news relevant to their communities. It's not to just give them content to duplicate, it's to give them leads, to give them places where they can seek information. And then the second one is the research projects. We aim to continue to commission at least 2 research projects per year on media trends in the future. In the last slide, we just outlined Program 1, which is basically our governance and administration. This is our internal area. Obviously, it is extremely important. It's the hygiene factors that enable the organization to achieve its mandate. But we realize this is very internally focused, so we've just outlined our 4 strategic objectives in this area, which covers our human resources, covers legislative compliance, our financial and good governance side, and finally our IT side. And then at this stage, I'd like to turn it to hand over to our acting Chief Financial Officer to deal with the finances. Thank you.
Thank you, Shannon. Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. I'll take you through the finance slide for the MDDA. In the 2017-18 financial year, MDDA were expecting to receive revenue coming to the MDDA for about 67 million. And traditionally, although we have operated on a very minimal budget, MDDA has over the years been very prudent and has made significant strides in terms of making a difference in the communities with regards to access to information and also making a difference to the individual lives of the people living in the communities through job creation. In terms of the distribution of our funding sources, our highest anticipated source of revenue for the coming year, for the year that we are in currently, will be from the broadcast commercial broadcast media. This, however, has a high risk element because it fluctuates on a year-to-year basis and is based on a percentage of annual turnover of the funders. So how we have, as MDDA, have acted in terms of mitigation of this risk is that we have increased our stakeholder engagements with the funders, and have also maintained very high and good levels of relationships with the funders, just to ensure that we continue to get their support over and above what they are obligated to do. Another realization that we have seen from the commercial broadcast funders is that they appreciate that most of the staff that they employ actually come from the community radio stations, community organizations, so they see the need to support the initiators. But this is a different case, as the minister and the chair has alluded with regarding to print. We are still facing challenges in terms of receiving support. I think you'll see there on the slide that in the current year, we have budgeted 0% from them. But although we engage them continuously and will still continue to, we hope that there will be change in the approach that the print media has. But I think more to that side is around the regulation of the print. That is where the major difference is with the broadcast. The broadcast media are legislated to contribute to government and government initiatives, whereas the print is not the case. So I think the chair will also touch on this as she closes. On the other source of revenue that we receive, which is 45% of the expected for the current year, is from the executive authority, the Department of Communications. We have in the different engagements that we have had with the department tried to obtain more funding. But we do realize that from a departmental point of view, the budget is very tight for the whole department. So we would appreciate the interventions from the portfolio committee with regard to the annual allocation for the department, as we believe that this will also increase the funding that comes in the direction of MDDA in order to support our mandate. And then in terms of the breakdown of the expenditure, which is the next slide, the traditionally our model in terms of the act and in terms of the agreements that we sign is that our funds are ring-fenced to fund specific purposes. An example would be if we receive funding from broadcast media, they would expect a certain percentage, which is 90%, to go towards funding broadcast-related initiatives. So with the whole aspect of ring fencing and the current prescripts in terms of our act, we find this a bit difficult to adequately respond to the changes that are in the media sector, because as you are aware, the communities are disseminating information on different platforms. Most of them are going on the digital platform, but we do not have the specific allocation for that in our current act. So we find that we are explaining most of the time where this is where the sector is going. So we would also request intervention from that. But in addition to that, the board has over the years seen that it is very crucial to invest in capacity building, the research and the advocacy and lobbying work. So therefore, we have also allocated from our annual allocation amounts that will go to these activities to ensure that there's continued growth in the sector in terms of skills retention and building, and also that the work that MDDA does from an advocacy and lobbying point of view benefits the communities in the amount that they receive for them to be sustainable. In the last slide, I'll hand over back to our chairperson to just highlight some of the immediate interventions that we would be requesting from the portfolio committee as we go ahead in the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. I think this is our last slide, honourable members. It's just to say that these are the areas. In fact, the last time when we appeared before the committee, there was a standing question of what you want. I think those colours, those areas that are reflected there are the areas of support that would really like to plead with the committee to help us with. I think there's one particular area which we believe that the committee can play a big role. It's in relation to encouraging the projects to be quite active within the constituent office. And I think in our own way as well, we'll take an initiative which we've done to work with constituency offices and the projects so that there's much more leveraging and stronger partnership to ensure that there's an active participation in our project, particularly those where there's a requirement for community participation. Then the issue of government advertising, we're thinking that it's one revenue stream that we really need to be able to lobby government departments to actually consider. I think to date, the GCIS or public sector has probably spent less than 20% of their spending in of the advertising spending, meaning that again there's a revenue that is lost that could have gone to the sector that is actually not able to be channeled to the sector. The other one is the print media regulation. One of the short-term to medium-term engagement with the print media would be to be able for them to financially contribute to MDDA. But we do think that in the same way that we've done broadcasting to compel the broadcasting sector to participate, to financially contribute in MDDA, that we could actually take a similar approach. However, they did say in their engagement with the minister about a year ago that one of the things they would really like to see is the outcome of the social impact study so that they actually better understand in terms of how do they contribute into the development of the sector. I think the others were already mentioned earlier. Thank you very much, Chair.
You want to come in, Minister, before we give over to
you? Yes, Chairperson. I'd like to hand over to the Deputy Minister because she is responsible for the MDDA. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Chairperson, members of the portfolio, and the entities that are here to present today. let me thank the committee first for affording me an opportunity to interact with the MDDA. Because since the delegations by the minister, they are the only entity that refused to meet with me. So today is an opportunity for me. Few issues which I want to bring to the attention of the portfolio before you could interact with the report presented, which I believe they are of importance for your consideration. In terms of Section 4, Subsection 1 and Section 10, Subsection 5 of the MDDA Act, respectively, the board is comprised of 9 members and requires a majority to correct. As it stands currently, the board is no longer correcting and cannot make any legal binding decisions nor instruct the executive or the management to carry their instructions. I hear the chairperson speaking of the interviews of the CEO on Friday. It would be illegal for them to carry that mandate and that responsibility because by law, they are not existing, they are not a board. I don't even know why they are here today, or maybe because they decided to mislead the minister. They are here today. Now, those are the issues which I thought it's important for the board to engage because I'm not in any position to mislead Parliament because misleading Parliament is a serious offense, and as a ministry, we are not ready to mislead Parliament. So I thought it's important for me as a person delegated by the minister to oversee MDDA to raise those issues and put them before the portfolio committee for consideration because whatever decisions that we take here today, it would be illegal decisions based on the act and the laws of that governs the existence of the board of the MDDA. Thank you.
Chairperson, may I just remind the committee that the chairperson did remind the board that there is a problem of the correction of the board when she started to speak and actually requested that the process of bringing in new board members should really be expedited so that they could be able to do their work.
Thank you for presentation. Members, I think now it's up to us, it's for us now to engage with the presentation from MDDA. I will be guided by the hands, Pumzile, oh, Honorable Pumzile, Honorable Mondli, because I'll call you by name, so. Honorable Fandey, Honorable Van Dolage, Honorable Tsili, in that order.
Thanks, Chair. Morning, Minister. It's really good to see you. I'd like to formally congratulate you on your appointment. Politics aside, I really wish you all the best, and I want you to do well in the portfolio. I think we've seen some terrible things that have happened in this portfolio, and we want to give you support and ensure that you do well. So good luck with all that you have to do. I've got quite a few questions, but first to say I'm glad that an acting CEO has been appointed at MDDA. From my interactions with Donald, he seems very capable. And so I'm glad that that issue has been sorted out. It was really not right that the board chair was, in essence, acting as CEO. We can call it whatever, but the fact of the matter is she was acting as CEO, and that was not right. So I'm glad that an acting CEO has now been appointed and that interviews will take place next week. Just for clarity in my mind, what was the date that the former CEO resigned? And when was the request sent to either your or the previous minister's office requesting for the secondment of an acting CEO. So I just want to know those two dates. And then there also seems to be quite an exodus of CEOs from the MDDA. How many CEOs has the MDDA had over the last while, and what reasons do they give for their resignation? I mean, I think if there is an exodus, like I assume there is, it points to a problem at the MDDA. You can't have people, you know, you can't have a revolving door of CEOs. There's clearly a problem which needs to be sorted out. And then, it is very problematic that the board is in courts, because it renders, as the Deputy Minister points out, it renders all decisions they're making open for legal challenge. In terms of the Act, Parliament, so it's 9 board members, and quorum is a majority, which would make it 5 members. 6 of those members are appointed by Parliament, and then 3 are appointed by the President independently. Of the 4 remaining, how many were appointed by the President, and how many were appointed by advice of Parliament? I think it's important for us to know that, so we can know that the President now has, you know, 3 people that he needs to appoint, and we need to appoint X number. I think it's important for us as a committee to know how many we need to fill and how many need to be filled by the President. And then, in terms of the ICASA moratorium, I'm happy to see that you, Minister, have supported encryption, which is a departure from the position of the previous minister and the SABC. Will the matter in the Constitutional Court now not be pursued anymore? Will the investigation continue, considering that now a different policy position taken by the department, in the ministry in particular? And I do believe there needs to be an investigation, either by the SABC Interim Board as part of their forensic investigation, into why unencrypted digital migration was followed as a policy, particularly with the relationship with MultiChoice, and why that was pursued, how much money was wasted pursuing what essentially was not a position also of your party. So I think there needs to be a forensic investigating the relationship of the former minister with MultiChoice and why this policy position was followed. And then in terms of advice to the MDDA, in terms of your research on media trends, can I request that this also pay particular attention on the proliferation of fake news? I did ask ICASA to look into that, and they said it's not within their mandate. I know GCIF is also looking into that. Can that be investigated? I think it's a big problem, and you as an entity should play a leading role in investigating just how bad the problem is and how do we fix it. And then I also think, Minister, there needs to be some sort of encouragement from your office for local and provincial governments to start advertising in community media. And there needs to be an express encouragement saying that, you know, there needs to be support given to community media. Of course, community media can't solely rely on government advertising to survive, but if there's any help that government can provide in terms of advertising, that should be done. That's me for now.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm going to spend a lot of my time on the meaning of things. That is the area I think I've selected for myself, the meaning of things. Because things must have a meaning so that we're able to deal with them together. Maybe before I even get there, I just want to also join my colleague from the opposition benches for welcoming the minister. who I know SABC chair is tomorrow. I think I wanted to commend the minister for decisiveness in giving clarity to South Africa about where SABC is going, especially clearing the confusion about the role of the board. Amongst many interventions we've made, that was a major, major intervention because it was creating a stress not only in Parliament, throughout the country. And I think you should be commended for that because I'm not sure whether you'll be present or not. I can't guarantee. Although I wish you are present. I think there's a lot of steps you have taken, but I also want to say, having said all that, one of the challenges that I would request the minister to deal with is if there's a statement that is made by consistency in terms of what is communicated by department between the ministry, agency, and so on, is going to be very important going forward because it does not help if the agency is wrong for the ministry to simply come in public and disagree without first, this is my just proposal, if that doesn't happen, saying if the ministry finds in disagreement with agents, it's important to find out why the agency is speaking like that. So that when the minister communicates, say we have interacted with the agency, because the communique of the ministry must be the final autocall communique. It must not be the communication in contestation with anybody in the department. And I think going forward, this is going to enhance the confidence in the entire department and its elements with regard to where the department is going. Because sometimes these contradictions we take for granted, we don't know how they undermine the reputation of the entire department. So I thought that is very important. I'm also happy that in your remarks, you demonstrated that you've spent time to actually look at what is going to be presented here before coming to Parliament. Again, I think that to me gives sort of confidence of a productive working relationship. We're going to fight. We're going to celebrate. You know, when there's something called wavelength, a wavelength is not complete if it doesn't have a trough and a crest. See, a crest, things are fine, and then the trough, things are down. But that completes the wavelength. So we should have that relationship, and that is a healthy relationship. I thought, before I do that, Chair, I must congratulate the Minister. I must also minister in her presence to say, in the few times we've interacted with the DM, I think she's been very helpful in actually demonstrating that the department has got political leadership. There are instances where we're interacting with the department, we could not, let me not go back there. I'll be assisting wrong things. I think my colleague has dealt with Minister the procedures, the legal basics, the institutional framework. She has raised questions. I'm interested how are they going to be responded to. So I don't want to go back. I want to just go to the meaning of things. There's something, Minister, I'm insisting on, that we need to have reports before us. That makes us, whether you're present or absent, when you look at the paper in front of us, there must be no confusion between what you are telling us and what is written on paper. And I want to say upfront, interestingly, Chair, the presentation is simplified. As a result, the disadvantage, simplification is a correct thing, but it's disadvantage, you see a lot of wrong things. But that is not a wrong thing. The fact that you say wrong things, it means now we are in an opportunity to correct so that when you come back, we are actually better. So I think simplified, nicely simplified, you can be able to say quickly, you think let's sort this out and so on. I thought those are a few remarks. If we go to slide number 11. It's written 11. Sometimes I don't know. Other people will write a page at the bottom and slide somewhere else. But here, it seems as if slide and page is one and the same thing. Because in one page, you can have more than one slide. That's why, Chair, I always find it difficult to spell out that which is a slide, which is a page, so on. because in a page you can have more than one slide. Yeah. You are saying the you talk about outcomes. Ultimately, Minister, an outcome, in my understanding, is that because of a particular situation, we intervene. When that situation has been changed, it's an outcome at the other side. But not what we have done, not what we are doing. Because an outcome is a new situation as a result of our intervention. For example, that's why I believe the outcome number 14 by a national government, which says social cohesion. Social cohesion would be an outcome because you are intervening in a divided society. Now, social cohesion is a new situation you create because of your intervention. That becomes an outcome. But the things you do can't be an outcome. That's the point where I start. Because you've done whatever you have done, the situation is like this now, in society, not in the department. That's the point I want to put across. Because if you go to something that is written, outcome 6, it says relates to an efficient, competitive, and responsive economy infrastructure network. We can't refer to that as an outcome. Because that's the situation you want to create yourself. Those are the things, those are the interventions. Because of your interventions, we want to know what situation do you want to create in society. Because remember, Chair, what you are funding, I wish the content advisor is not disrupting the chair, my chair. Thanks, Chair. We must not disrupt the chair. Remember, Chair, what we are funding as Parliament, we're not even funding that you build the department. It sounds very crude. We're not even funding that you appoint a minister or CEO. There are things we want to see happening in society. Those things that must happen, that those changes in society, are outcomes. But what you put there, whether it's a road, whatever you put there, those are your strategic goals, whatever you call them. But outcome becomes the change in society. Right? So, I'm saying that number 6 articulates the things you do. So, how you put it on outcome, maybe you'll explain it. I'm not saying it's wrong, but maybe there's something I'm missing in the articulation. And the similar thing applies to 23, to number 12. There you're saying relates to the efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. That's a public service. Remember, public service, Donald, is what you give. You give it because you want a particular situation in society. And that, your outcome will come to the situation in society. Right? For instance, let's put it this way. If you had a lot of unhappy people about responses of the department in clarifying certain things, when you respond, and then the society says, next week we are happy, that's an outcome of your intervention. But the fact that you responded could be your goal, but not necessarily your strategic goal or whatever, or your objective, not necessarily your outcome. If you go to outcome number 14, you say the nation building and social cohesion as it envisions. Social cohesion is what could be an outcome there. Oh, I don't want to repeat. I think we've done that. If we go what is also interesting, Chair, on the situational analysis, I always find that very interesting with departments generally. Lack of access to information, biased news, unfair competition, predominance of English, sustainability. I think mainly, this is a point I want to make without pointing to it. Mainly our analysis of the situation, Chair, tends to be the analysis of our performance. I'm not sure if I make that point. Because for instance, if you say inadequacy in news coverage, that is what you're supposed to do. But if news coverage is inadequate, what becomes the state of the society because there is no coverage? Do I make that point? If there's no coverage, you can't just say lack of coverage. Something must have worried in society and say, I think this problem in society is because there's no adequate coverage. That is what is hidden here, right? Biased news. What makes you to say news are biased? I can go on and go on. Sustainability in revenue generation. Why are we worried about that? Governance, advertising spend, geographic exclusion. Why are you worried about all those things? Those are the things you're supposed to correct. But what is the situation that makes you say the department is not properly organized? I'm saying your analysis is on your state, on the state of your organization, not the situation in society. As a result, if some of us are difficult MPs, we can say we don't know what to fund him. Because we're not funding your organization, we're funding the state of society. And then if you say now, here is the state of the society, and because of the state of society, this is how I'm not organized for it. Then we say, okay, we realize now why inadequacy in news coverage, then we'll give you money for that. So I make point. We realize now why the geographic exclusion is a problem, we'll give you money to correct that. We understand now why media monopoly is a problem. It must be motivated based on what is happening in society. So I'm saying it's just a general problem, Colonel Advice. We always analyze our organization, not the state of society, so that whatever interventions you are making, we must say it means you are referring to that problem which you saw in Khayelitsha. That is what I understand situational analysis to be. If you go to 13, you said this is a desired state. Desired state. Let's start there. Well-informed citizenry, that could be a desired state. And I've even tried with my little understanding to tick that. Media literacy, maybe that could be a desired state. Or literate. It's even difficult to explain that. But if you're a literate society, if you say literate society or something like that, that could be the desired state in society. Say, you are saying desired state. I'm taking from your heading. Language diversity could be a desired state. Content diversity. But why are we worried about language diversity? Does language diversity tell you about the state of society? Content diversity, does it tell you about the state of society? Media transformation, does it tell you about the state of society? I can go on and on. You are saying this is your desired state. As Parliament, we're not interested in the desired state of the organization. We're interested mainly in the desired state of society. But how you articulate your desired state in the organization will check its relevance towards the desired state of society as articulated in your document. You must say, this is what we want society to be. This is what our state is a department. So we analyze the state of the department as projected and check whether it can help give us the type of society we want. Right? Let's go to the next one. There's no page here. Alignment with DOC, which is very, very important because we picked up, I think last week, that the ministry has very useful what to call remarks in terms of strategic direction with the department. But when you look at the performance plan, you don't find a relationship. I don't know, there's no name of page there. But it's the one after the desired state. Maybe I don't see with my old eyes. You are saying here, goal one. Capable and accomplished organization. That is a correct articulation. That is a state of the organization, not of the society, by the way. You can see the difference I'm trying to put. It's not of the society. And that state of the organization is required. Goal 3, body of knowledge on the community-based media. Fine. Now you go to goal 2. Below, it says media transformation, promoted. I don't know what we're saying there. Let's quickly move to 16. 16 speaks about institutional challenges. right? Maybe MDDA will explain what do they mean by that challenge. I'm not saying it's not a challenge. You are saying there's that cloud there, mitigating leadership and internal capacity challenges. I don't know whether it's your intervention or it's a challenge. But we'll clarify what is it. Because mitigating, you would not call that a challenge. But maybe it's an intervention. But let us say that cloud is an intervention. All right. For that purpose, let's go to the surrounding articulations. Media request to Parliament for vacant board positions to be filled. Would you call that a challenge? Because you would be correcting a particular problem then. Are we together, Coordinator? When you say media request to Parliament for vacant board, how is that a challenge? Other than a mitigation or an intervention to sort out the challenge that has not been articulated. Transform MDDA into knowledge-based organization. How do we call that? What is the challenge? Focus on filling executive position, including CEO. How? The point I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with those words, but what is the challenge? Because remember, if you say as a result of that challenge, we must fill CEO, we'll come and monitor you and check how did the CEO and CFO intervention corrected the challenge. Right? Maybe if we say it's an organization, it could be an organizational challenge by the department, maybe it's correct. But I want us to All right. Here, Chair. Maybe I could be seriously wrong. Because if I check the heading, it says institutional protocol challenges. But media request to Parliament can be a challenge. That's the point I'm trying to make. Let's articulate challenges properly. But instead of challenges, it means the challenges of the department. Right? So when you say a request is a challenge, it's an issue of language. Quickly, the last one, I'll just use, Minister, one or two pages on this one. It will articulate many others. If you go to page 19, we keep on arguing all the time. If you say your strategy objective one, to facilitate, there is no strategy objective which starts by to something. You will never find it. Once you say to do something, it can be a strategy objective. I want to make that argument very clearly, Donald. Very clearly, so that if you disagree with it, you can disagree. There is no strategic objective that starts by to do something. You will not find. Because a strategy must articulate a particular state that you want to realize. When you say to facilitate ownership, that's not a strategic objective. So everything that starts by two, that's my argument, Minister, is wrong. So I want the technicians to come and challenge me on that. Because it too is to do something, is to act on something. It's not what you want to realize. All of them is all over here. And if you come to page 21, key output. How on earth, if you use the management language, grant and seat funding is an output? How does that become an output? How you define an output called grant funding? You are funding. When you fund, how do you call that an output? Well, an output is what exists as a result of your intervention. Whether you want to construct a bottle, a bottling space, once you have a bottle, that could be an output. I give you money to produce a bottle. A bottle is an output. But giving you money can be an output. So this cannot be an output. Job creation can't be an output. When you create. Remember, when you create, you start by something. Until the jobs are in place, how many do you have? Special projects, how do we call that an output? I can go on and go on, and I'm saying these are language issues that I'm requesting that we need to deal with so that we find one another. When you go to baselines, the last time I remember what a baseline is, if you are intervening in a situation, baseline articulates what is in place before you intervene, so that the changes that come as a result of your intervention can be measured against what you found. But if you look at your language here, it is not assisting us in all your baselines to say what is it that really is in place on the basis of which, so that we can measure your change. Because remember, when we find a change. So after 6 months, you said, if it's a manufacturing bottles, you must say 2 bottles in place, that is a baseline. So when you add 5, then it becomes 8. Who knows, from the baseline you moved by 5. So the money was worth paying for. So those are the point I wanted to try. So I said, allow me to be a nuisance on the meaning of things. I'm wrong in some of the things I've just said now, but I want you to challenge me and correct me so that we can move together. Right? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kungubela. Maybe just before I forget this, I know Mondli can take us into a very interesting argument on these issues. Maybe you might be guilty of what he said earlier, that we seem to be clear and clear. You seem to pick up and follow from what we have been raising around being clear when you talk to us as members. Because really we are not technicians and experts on this. But I want to take you back there on the slide, which is slide 11, on National Development Plan. Because my understanding there, what you are trying to do is to align yourself as MDDA with the goals and objectives of the National Development Plan. And if I understand you, maybe that might be the problem. You, for instance, the outcome 6 is just a line which you have taken from the whole document on the outcomes of the National Development Plan. So to me, that I'm sure that's what you are trying to do, but you'll actually explain that to us. But the other element, before I forget, maybe that's why I'm saying also in Parliament we should be giving ourselves time, because that's what we don't do as members of Parliament, Minister and Deputy Minister. Luckily you have been members of Parliament. All we do, we run around, you know, these programs, department coming, and we don't understand and want to understand ourselves. Because in all those questions which Honorable Kungubela have raised, they center around one thing. Because governments create institutions. They create departments. We create parastatals in our case and agencies. For what? To address the society's problems and the situation which is obtaining in society. That's the essence of, that's why we have you. And then out of that, I'm sure what's happening is now, you'll be defining what out of, because that is the whole totality of what, that why we created these departments. Otherwise, you'll just be having members of parliament running around and cabinet or something which is amorphous. But I think that's another understanding we must have when we look into these presentations, so that as we move, because of course what Mondli does, it helps us. Because another problem we have is the template you are given by Treasurer and Auditor General on how to account. We've been battling, we had an argument, in fact, with Auditor General Moji, he was raising those questions, because that's another problem which is there. Because departments are forced into a certain template, how to account. And you are judged by that when you are audited. But I wanted just to raise but you'll answer that question when you answer. Next member.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to welcome you, Minister, and we're looking forward to working with you, both you and the Deputy. Okay, my questions. On the slide that was provided on page 8, I would like to know the two provinces that you choose, which ones are they and why, and if you can give more info on the outreach that you're planning and what you want to achieve with that outreach. Page 20, that was page 8. Page 21, I see that 19, number of radio stations that were approved, they 19. I want to know how does the moratorium affect this? Do they already have licenses? And then I also want to point out that just underneath it says that 20 radio stations were approved to be strengthened. I want to know what is the budget allocated towards strengthening, and then I want to know what is the terms that are used to approve this strengthening, and I want to know what is the problem. Why does it seem that community radio cannot get to the point where they're self-sustainable? Can you give me the main problems or indication of that? Then I want to come back to the vacancies. There is 15 out of 35 vacancies, and 5 of those are senior positions, according to your annual report. And it's actually the positions that are vacant are positions like the CFO, the COO. I would like to know when those positions will be filled and also how long have they been vacant. Another strategic positions that are really a matter of concern with regards to your the output in your company is the HR manager, your monitoring and evaluation, and also your project director. In your human resources on the organogram, it says that your HR manager is vacant, and also your human resources officer. It leaves you with an IT manager, a receptionist, and a cleaner. So how do you do your job in the HR department? That's why there's so many problems in the HR. I can just imagine how much or how that contributes to failure within the entity. You also with regards to the research, you point out that the research is important, but your research manager, the position is vacant, so that leaves you with two coordinators. If that's how it comes back, how will you execute your research without a proper management? Then also, on page 22, if we can have the number of the five small commercial media projects approved, and also the number of the community print projects approved, there's also 4. And if you can explain to me what does it mean, the number of projects approved for online presence? If you can just explain to us what you mean with that. Then also, I missed something on page 21. You say that there's going to be 198 direct jobs created in the community broadcast sector. Is this new jobs? Can you explain to me where was the sample taken from what population? Is it how did you measure that? How did you come to that result? Also on page 13 with regard to the research project, I also want to know what projects, research projects were undertaken, and would it be possible that you can make that available to us also? Then on your annual plan, you say that the strategic plan was revised. What was revised? It doesn't say. What did you change? I will, that's fine.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. My apologies for coming in late. I also would want to congratulate the Minister for being appointed to this most important kind of a department. Chair, also to congratulate her on the very brave decisions she has already taken in taking the country forward in a very positive way. We wish her all the best. Chair, my first concern is the implication of what the Deputy Minister has just alluded to, what the kind of work that you are doing as we are seated here. Because I would want a situation where we do something that in fact it was indicated that is unlawful. If we can make sure that you explain to us that we are on the right track, we should proceed. It's quite a worrying factor. Really, Minister, if we could have been addressed the matter before we come before the portfolio committee, at least it would be nice to say we're unable to present, we have difficulties, we apologize, please find a way to accommodate us later on so that we really don't experience what we are experiencing now. Chair, I would want to note the challenges of the template. I don't want us to get there. We've been together with MDDA, I think, 2 weeks ago. They've raised the issues. I really don't want to bother the community by getting there. The issues of alignment with the NDP, but the issue of vacant posts, I wish the minister can make a commitment to say and give us a time frame on when are these vacant posts are going to be addressed. Because we are no longer wanting to ask individual questions. We just want to put the broad question, because in most of the entities, as in the department, we even call them the Hollywood minister. You did not know that you are calling your minister Hollywood, kind of, because everybody is acting. So we want to put it to you to say, please shut down the Hollywood, so that we can be able to move with the capabilities that you can recognize from yourself. But Chair, take advantage that we have not yet given a direction on what should happen, given the consent of the Deputy Minister that really in the last week she assisted us. Cool. I don't understand what is meant in page 6. If page 6 under the issues raised by portfolio committee, I hear, and I'm very happy, Chairperson of the Board, on how you have articulated your response and how you intend to accommodate issues that you raised in the last interactions that we had. However, under the monitoring and evaluation project, projects are assessed in terms of, you say, all those. But what we thought was also the most important issue, I hear somebody said, talk about it later on, the issues of intergovernmental relationships. I think that should fall under that, because without that we won't be able to achieve what you think we must achieve. Page 7, Chair, the issues raised by the portfolio. We talk about the media 24 and spending of their fund. You are not explaining, for somebody who was not part of that meeting, cannot understand what you mean there. But again, Chair, as we always complain about the abbreviations, the AIPs, sometimes we don't know all this, Chair, what do they mean, and so on. But in the relationship between themselves and the other very strategic NGOs, especially on the issues of gender violence, reporting. I wish the department can go out of its way to find other NGOs that are doing that but are not being recognized because they are far from the relevant TVs and so on, but they are on a daily basis doing the work. And in majority of cases, these are in the rural areas where, in fact, their gender-based violence is quite rife. In page 8, the issues raised by the Portfolio Committee again, the media literacy, the two provinces. We have got a very important institution in South Africa that informs us about everything in a government institution. It has been called State South Africa. Whatever you want is there. But forever the department are unable to utilize that institution for them to be able to know what is taking place in South Africa in many ways. And if we all do that, Chair, we won't be asking these questions of how did you come up with two? If two is Eastern Cape and Western Cape, why is that? Why is that? Because in your report you'll be telling us how you engage with State South Africa and what is the story. The relevant story, because they've got them in their fingertips to say, if you talk gender-based violence, they tell you with their eyes closed where it is rife. The most poorest areas in South Africa, they tell you with their eyes closed where is that area. So if we can use that chair as part of the institutions of that we have and that can assist us. Chairperson, the chairperson trying to explain, and I thought I understood, but the CFO, I didn't hear him talking about issues that we raised last time in saying this is how we've managed to accommodate the issues that you raised, because we don't want to repeat ourselves all the time. But, Chair, through you, I'm not sure, Minister, if we'll, and the Ministry will ever be able to really scratch on the skills and the capabilities of our officials, especially those who are seated in the most senior positions, insofar as finding ways to make sure that departments are able to carry themselves up, even with the little money that we have. I'm not sure if we'll get more. I would love to see a situation where we can... In fact, I always cry on why did we establish this department when you look at the way it is funded. It's always a problem that I'm unable to really resolve in myself, and nobody has ever been able to give me a satisfactory answer. I know those difficulties. But however, Chair, I don't think this should come in forever as an excuse. There should be a way that the officials, especially those that are really going home with huge or very good packages, there should be a way to say, this is what we are doing. I know the CFO of the department last week, Minister, she said she's bones herself. She cannot cut anything now. She has cut everything. She has left with bones. We know that. However, we still want to hear more on what else is being done, because with the situation on where the country is and where it is going, because of the global challenges, we might not be able to have what we would love to, but we must be able to create a situation where we do everything that is expected of us to do. Chair, as the Honorable Gungubele, I don't even want to vouch in wanting to come closer to the issues that he's raising. But myself, I feel a little bit confused in the 2017-2018 APP Program 2 on sometimes the language that is being used that is not so clear. When they say the implementation of impact study findings, the implementation of impact study finding, that is a performance indicator. I'm not sure what does that mean. If I can also be explained. And 25, the performance indicator, once again, is a stakeholder engagement policy and plan reviewed and implemented. What does that mean? And as Honorable Gungubele was really very good in teasing out all those. I would really want to see a situation where things are more easier and more straightforward in talking to the issues that are supposed to talk to. Of course, taking into consideration everything that is expected the department to do, the issues of campaigns, the AG, and so on and so on. Chair, I think I will end my questions. On the last 33, the MDDA fundraising, slide 33, over the media term, agency is developing a business case to secure additional extended funds. Quite exciting. This is exactly what I'm talking about. But there are no, maybe they are seated somewhere, CFO, the time frames, the plans and the time frames to do exactly that. I know where you are seated, we all would want to hear this. It's quite exciting to hear from yourselves. But we want to see whether this is possible. If it is, where is the plan? And if there is a plan, what are the time frames? Thank you very much, Chair.
Chair, before I raise I have a few issues in the light of what my colleagues have already raised, but let me join my colleagues in congratulating you, Minister, for the deployment, and also pledge my support to you. The reason why, Chair, we have all the reasons to worry about the issues as raised by the DM is precisely because some of the issues that you raised almost impacted in the work that we do as the oversight body at the strategic planning session last week, when there was an apology which says an entity that is supposed to be reporting to Parliament is not coming to our meeting because there are issues that still need to be handled with yourselves. So like what Honorable Dolashi has indicated, we have all the reasons to worry about the issues that have been raised by the DM, and we'll appreciate if those issues can be attended to as a matter of agency. We rejected that apology precisely because we know that as the oversight board, whoever is supposed to be invited to Parliament to come and account must come. So there was that apology. We had to insist that we can't proceed with our meeting until they come. I remember we've been indicated that even if they are in a mission outside the country, they will have to suspend it and come. We rejected that apology. So all I'm saying is that we will appreciate if those issues can be attended to as a matter of agency. I must really commend, Chair, the approach of MDDA in starting to attend to some of the issues that we have raised, especially last week at the strategic planning session. The reason why we have always been insisting that we want to know how municipalities, entities, and departments are supporting community radio is that we don't want a situation where we paint everybody with a black paint to say people are not supporting community radio. We appreciate the fact that from the action plan that you displayed, there is this engagement that you are saying you will have with SALCA and all these other relevant stakeholders. So we'll appreciate if that issue that we raised is as well attended to, so that we know, even at our level, the kind of intervention that we need to make with those who are not giving community radio the necessary support. With print media, I'm worried because page 33, I see transfers and grants. There are some funds that will be transferred to targeting print media. But going back to the performance indicators, I don't see anything that talks directly to print media, like your television, your community radio, I see them, but I don't see any performance indicator that talks directly to print media. Because print media, in my own experience, mostly relies on government for survival. It can't be right. Surely there should be a way that MDDA, a mechanism or a strategy that MDDA needs to develop to ensure that even if government is not necessarily advertising, at least they have a way to attend to the issues that they're supposed to be doing as such. Page 7, you talked about judgment by the Competition Commission, but the question that arises is what is the judgment all about? What was the issue? So we'll appreciate if you can expand a bit so that we must not only know the judgment, we must know the issue at hand that led to that kind of a judgment that you said it came out in favor of MDDA. The last one would be your job creation aspect on page 12. I'm not sure whether it was page 12 or so. We'll appreciate if you can clarify us in which area. Yeah, I think page 21. Number of direct jobs created in the community broadcast sector. I'm interested in knowing the area where those direct jobs are going to be created. If you can just clarify so that we know exactly as we go out here, exactly what are we talking about. Some of the community radios have got governance challenges, and some of them, as we conduct our oversight work, will be told you could not even fund them because they have governance challenges. And my question has been the role of MDDA in assisting to address some of those governance challenges. What do you do if if there are governance challenges in the community radio, and in the process of you trying to assist, you could not move as anticipated because of these governance challenges? So we'll appreciate if you can just take us on board in terms of the role that you play in that particular area. Thanks.
Thank you. Before maybe you address the questions, maybe one will be interested to know, you talk here of the engagement with Media 24. Why have you engaged with the independent media? And I'll be very much interested who actually in print media who would throw from contributing in these media houses. what are the reasons, so that maybe as Parliament also, because also we have the role, we can interface with them, independent of you and the ministry, in trying to understand that. Because media have a role, as it outlined in our constitution, to play in building our society also. And then on the other question, so that I don't want an impression here is created that we are receiving or conducting an illegal committee meeting. Because, you know, the deputy minister's input can be easily misinterpreted. Firstly, let me start on the, because also as a committee we must be honest with ourselves. You have that problem because we have lagged behind in doing our work, especially around the board. That blame, I don't think we can blame even to the minister's office. It was us who have gone, who have done the process, but somewhere we don't move. But that's something which we'll address as a committee also, so that we actually quickly move on doing these things to assist operations in the entities. And my last question, what you are presenting here, my understanding, is from your strategic plan, which was adopted by the board. The board which adopted, that's why I want to correct this thing of illegality and legality. The board which adopted the strategic plan corrected? Because if it corrected what you are presenting here, it didn't need any quorum. All it needed was the interface and endorsement by the ministry before coming to us. So just clarify us on that when you are actually answering some of the questions which have been asked. We'll be breaking for tea just for 3 minutes. Just, some of us are old, I used to have a flask. So now these days there are no flasks. I've survived with that flask for 10 years. So my worry, I don't drink a tea which is cold. I want to see water boiling. So it's outside for 5 minutes, we'll go out and